Praise God with clanging cymbals. Praise God with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. It's a resurrection, a couple of resurrection appearances of Jesus. And some say that the original text of the Gospel of John ended at the end of chapter 20. if that's the case, I'm still grateful that someone tacked on chapter 21, because that's a pretty good chapter too. But hear these words from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the religious authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed also are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other things and many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. So, again, I say good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I enjoyed worshiping with you last Sunday, Easter Sunday, and it's nice to be back this morning. You might remember an illustration from last Sunday that Karen gave, and I have to say, it's always risky for a preacher to point to a sermon a week ago, because often the congregation is different and they might not remember, but this is the Sunday after Easter. I'm pretty sure most of you were here. And if you weren't, if you were visiting another church that Sunday, I'll give you enough of the illustration to catch up with us. But you might remember, because it really caught my attention. It was that interview by Anderson Cooper of Stephen Colbert. And they were talking about grief. In fact, after Karen's sermon, I went and watched that interview again. It is brilliant. It is powerful. It is a profound statement of faith, and I recommend it to you. Colbert said that he had discovered that the awful grief that came into his life as a young child, the death of his father and two of his brothers in a plane crash, he discovered that in the end, that grief contained a gift. And this is what he said. The bravest thing you can do is accept with gratitude the world as it is. It's a gift to exist, and with existence comes suffering. There's no escaping that. Then he went on to say that his faith has taught him and reassured him that God suffers with us and that life is stronger than death. And in that assurance, Colbert told Cooper, I learned to love the thing which I most wished had not happened. Remember Karen telling us about that? And Anderson Cooper himself was dealing with grief in that moment. He had just lost his mother a few months earlier. So he looked at Stephen Colbert and he asked, do you really believe that? And I could see tears in Cooper's eyes. And Colbert paused. He paused for what seemed like a long time. It was as if he was asking himself, do I really believe that? And then he answered, so soft, yes. Do you really believe that? We've sung songs, we've said words, we've passed peace. Do you really believe that? What a question. It pretty much sums up the question of this morning's text. I think it's a question a lot of people bring to church every Sunday. In many ways, I think it's the question of our time. Because as we look around us, don't we struggle with believing the good of life? Don't we wonder how to live passionately in a world that would crush our passion for justice, that would scoff at our passion for mercy, that would mock our passion for peace? We put signs on our lawn, but don't we really wonder if kindness is everything? Don't we wonder if love is stronger than hate? You see, in spite of our celebration of Easter, our proclamation that Easter Sunday settles everything, we know that the next step in our lives is to figure out how to live in a resurrection reality. Because we are caught up in a crucifixion world. There's no doubt that the disciples after Easter Sunday had to figure that out too. That Friday of torture was intended to be an example for them all. So on Resurrection Sunday, they're hiding in a room with a locked door. And even though Jesus met them there, the next week, they were back. Regardless of what truths they thought they held in their hearts, they were still figuring out how they could really live what they believed. I have to tell you, these last months have had me asking the same question. They've been rough. Now, I'm going to get political here, because I believe our gospel is political. It is not partisan, and I am not speaking as a partisan, but it is political. And what I mean is our gospel affects the way we care about one another and the way we structure that care. And in these last few months, I have felt the ground under my feet shift in ways I have never thought possible. I felt the very pillars of our connections shake the slashing of USAID, the gutting of agencies designed to protect our health, our safety, our planet, our future, the undermining of our God-given rights and constitutional protections, the defiance of our judicial system, the betrayal of our allies and our friends, and all of the lies. I'm exhausted. I'm wondering how to respond. I'm feeling powerless. Sometimes I want to give in to despair. Do I still really believe the Easter story, that tyranny cannot prevail? Do I still believe the arc of history bends towards justice? Do you? On Monday, the day after Easter this year, we got the news that Pope Francis, world leader in speaking for the poor, for the immigrant, for those on the margins of society, had died. Francis, who reminded us over and over that love is the measure of faith. And sadly, we also heard of some folks celebrating the absence of his powerful voice. Sometimes, doesn't it just seem like the power of hate is stronger than the power of love? Sometimes, don't we doubt God? Sometimes, doesn't just one voice of disdain on our social media feed seem louder than all the words of kindness and support? Maybe Thomas is a stand-in for all of us, for all of those times we feel like our world has fallen apart. We long to hear words of hope and comfort, but even when they come, we ask with tears in our eyes, can I really believe that? And I do think the Thomas story here can help, because when Jesus appeared in the upper room the first time and gave his disciples that gift of encouragement, Thomas was not there. And when the other disciples tried to tell Thomas about their experience of the risen Christ, Thomas insisted on his own experience. Unless I can touch those wounds, unless I can know for myself, I can't believe. For all of us who have been in that place, this gospel reading is good news. The story suggests, first of all, that when we are struggling, the community can carry us. I can believe for you when I struggle, and then you can believe for me. Because in this life, I believe, and then I don't believe. And then I believe again. And then I don't believe again. And then I believe. The story contains another promise. It reminds us that when our faith falters, Jesus will meet us there. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, maybe some of you know, there is a great emphasis on the Saturday of Holy Week. It's the day that Jesus is said to have descended into hell and released captives. And the imagery that the Eastern Orthodox Church uses, and you can see this in icons and in graphic illustrations, is Jesus in hell reaching out to grab the hand of Adam and the hand of Eve, and those two humans grabbing other hands, and all of them rising together. What a powerful image. The resurrection is a community experience. Together we rise. I absolutely believe that is true. I've seen it, I've touched it, I've witnessed it. I've felt it at rallies these last 3 months when thousands are speaking out. And I've experienced it in communities, in this community. I've watched you hold each other and listen to each other and believe for each other when belief is so hard to hold on to. The story of Thomas reminds us that it is okay to pause, to catch our breath, to wonder at such times. We can doubt, absolutely. Doubt can be a gift. We can despair, but we cannot make our home there. In fact, the story of Easter is the promise that our home is not in despair. Our deepest hope comes from something more. Yes, I know. Sometimes we need to touch something to see it with our own eyes. But sometimes our privilege of seeing that so often has fooled us into thinking that's the only way we can know what we believe. When the truth is that throughout history, those who resist oppression and tyranny have learned the final lesson of this story of Thomas. Did you hear it? Blessed are those who do not see, but yet believe. That's the community we're called to be, because to make our home in hope, we have to trust the long view. We have to trust that long chain of hands that celebrate resurrection. The stories we've heard from others that promise us that death is not the end. We are a resurrection people. And to make our home in hope, we need each other to proclaim that the power of the tomb, the power of hate, the power of greed, the power of love, of power, is not the final word. Do you doubt that? Then we will hold you. Do you believe that? Then hold us. Together, let's work. Let's get to work. Because together, by the power of God, the resurrection power of God, we can rise.